When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
You're in the Big FM 93.7 on the drive home with Sly. Joining me now, the president of Madison Teachers Incorporated, John Matthews. Brother Matthews, good afternoon.
Howdy, good to see you.
All right, so there's been a lot going on. Let me ask you a little bit about, first of all, this fight over expanded charter schools. How much worse could this make the situation that's already bad?
Well, it just exponentially. If you have unlimited charter schools, that means there's that much more of the public's money, which is raised to support public schools, as is mandated by the Constitution, provide a free public education. But that money is being peeled off by charter schools to go to for-profit schools run by such organizations as Walmart. It goes to a very small number of schools which do not have to comply with the state regulations, the legislation, and so forth that the public schools do. So they can operate them for a profit and do quite well at the kids' expense.
I was just reading a story about Walmart, and with Walmart money comes strings attached. They're not just interested in operating charter schools. They've been doling out money to public school systems with strings attached.
Well, absolutely. And the public schools have been starved for the last several years, actually since 1993 with the revenue controls, where the Republican Party violated their own premise of local control, and the state took over control of a lot of public schools by limiting how much money they could raise, and then in turn mandating certain things in the curriculum and so forth. So Walmart is really buying their way into the public schools and trying to siphon off those things that will make them a greater profit.
Yeah, it's a funny thing about Walmart, and people really ought to take a step back and look at their whole business model. Considering their record on employee rights and what they've helped do to the American economy, why would they be interested in education? What would be their modus operandi?
Money.
Money. How do they benefit from this?
Well, they benefit from it by buying allegiance when they're investing money in the public schools. But their goal is to set up their own private for-profit schools to compete with the public schools.
Oh, so it's just another business venture for them.
It is a business venture, pure and simple.
You know, I debated my boss the other day. We weren't on the air, but we were debating this whole notion of teachers and merit pay and how teachers are evaluated and the whole school setting. And he just doesn't understand. He's like, you know, I treat my employees well, and the ones that excel, I pay more. Why shouldn't teachers operate that way? Why shouldn't teachers operate just like any other business?
Well, in education, let's just say there are three third grade teachers in rooms that are adjacent. And one of them is preparation time. He's walking down the hall and notices that teacher A has really got the kids' attention. The kids are excited. And after they're taking their lunch break a couple hours later, the teacher B, the one who was walking down the hall, said, "Wow, you really had the kids' attention there. You really had them involved in this lesson. How did you do that? How did you get them so involved and so excited about this?" Well, let me tell you, if teacher A and teacher B are competing for the merit pay, am I going to share with the teacher who asked about how did I get these kids so excited? How did I get them so involved? No. And one of the ways that education progresses is through the collaboration of teachers working together and planning their lessons together and what really works with this kind of kid who's got this way of learning versus another way of learning. And every kid has a different thing that turns them on. If a teacher learns how to work with kids with these different learning styles, they are going to benefit from, and then the kids are going to benefit, and all of society is going to benefit if you keep carrying this out, with the teachers who collaborate, who work together, who develop lesson plans together. And if you're competing for a limited pool of merit pay, you're not going to have that kind of collaboration that is really necessary for education to move forward.
John Matthews from MTI with us on the Big FM 93.7, Drive Home with Sly. Have we begun to hear anecdotal, and this would just be anecdotal, evidence in schools where Act 10 is fully in place? Obviously, Madison Public Schools are a bit of an island, but have we begun to see any signs where the collaborative effort is going away since Act 10 has gone into place?
Well, it's the collaborative effort has suffered in areas where merit pay has been implemented, and I'm saying that across this entire country. A few years ago, for example, I'm really not answering your question directly here,
you are.
I've seen in the Seattle area, but more recently in the Denver area, we've got the best thing since sliced bread in this merit pay plan, and would you guys just buy into it? And in Seattle, the folks, and it wasn't Seattle proper, it was one of the suburbs. Many years ago, one of my colleagues said, man, we finally got it figured out. We've got a merit pay plan, and this is really going to work. And about 2 years later, I saw the same person. He said, what a disaster. All it did was divide the teachers and cause internal strife. Well, about maybe 5 years ago, Denver came up with this plan that the agreement was it would be an option of the teachers who wanted to participate in it to try to get that added incentive pay. And if you didn't want to get into it, that was fine. And that was their way of trying to say, let's really give this a shot. And about 2 years later, the whole thing fell apart. But
you don't hear much about that in the national media, do you?
No. You heard a lot about it when it was being developed and when it was approved and going forward. But when it started crumbling, you don't hear those kind of things.
So obviously, Wisconsin is talking about evaluating teachers. There's been the fight over whether test scores should be used. I was telling you before we started today, I read an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this, about that, you know, we're nearing this time where teachers are going to be evaluated. I don't understand what the parameters are and what the criteria is.
Well, I don't know that anybody else does either. And what makes one better than another? You know, one of the things that I've said over many years is, do you really know if you reach a kid, if a teacher reaches a kid, during the time that they're in that teacher's class for the year? You know, that kid may turn on 2 or 3 years later based on what a teacher did in the second grade, and now the kid's in the fifth grade, and something snaps in that learning process, and the kid really turns around. Let me give you just a really interesting example. I had some folks I know in Madison call me last summer, just as the summer was beginning, probably just before school got out. And they said they had a relative from the Milwaukee schools who was failing, and the parents were concerned about it. And you know, is there anything I could do to help get this kid into the Madison Metro School District for the summer session? And we were able to do that. And just this past week, the people who called me said, you know, John, that kid, because of his experience in Madison during the summer in the Madison Public School summer session, is now getting all A's in Milwaukee. So some teacher had the skill to reach that kid. Maybe it was a different environment he was in. It was a he. Maybe it was because he was living with these people during the summer and had a solid foundation. I mean, who knows what happened here? But the fact is, a kid who was failing is now succeeding.
We'll talk more. John Matthews with us on the Big FM 93.7.
Madison. Madison, a former governor whose name coincidentally reduced to his initials spells out simply LSD. Once called you nothing more than 50 odd square miles, surrounded by reality. No wonder we wear smiles. In Madison and Isthmus City and a great municipality, Madison. You're every shore the open arms of hospitality, Madison. A wacky wonderland defying rationality. Hey, what's so great about reality? Madison.
And we're back on the drive home with Sly. Joining us again, John Matthews, who, of course, is the president of Madison Teachers, Inc. How long have you been had that position?
It will be 46 years in May. It's been a long time, but when you're having a good time and you see what you can accomplish in helping people, it really drives me, and I love my work.
Although 5 years ago, you probably never thought your career would have this punctuation, right?
That is absolutely true. Yeah.
Now we have organizations pretending to be teachers' unions that are nothing more than a Trojan horse for corporations and undermining the profession. Yeah. Would that be a fair? Those are my words.
Well, you're right on target. Absolutely right on target.
Alternative teachers' union. So this is a teachers' union funded by corporations called AAE that supports Act 10, right? So it supports taking teachers' right to sit at the table away, puts caps on their pay, essentially, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, what type of organization could call itself a union and have those objectives?
Well, when it cannot assist people who are having employment problems, and I'm talking about somebody whose rights are being violated, this EAA or EEA organization can't do that. They are not a union. They can't bargain. They don't have any rights under the statutes to represent people. What they're really selling themselves on is we will provide you a liability policy. And that is something that's absolutely, in this state, not needed. Our members have a liability policy through NEA, which is secondary, supplementary to the state-mandated liability that the school district has to provide.
So they're taking $180 from people for this, and it's not necessary.
It's absolutely without value.
All right. So they claim to have 1,000 members. Do you buy that?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. We haven't seen any activity in Madison. We know that that organization is hiring teachers from around the state, trying to get them to go out and sell. You might as well buy a membership in AAA, American Automobile Association. It'll do you about as much good in your profession as would the benefits of which are non-existent, which the non-benefits of EEA are.
What do you make of the talks, the merger between ATF and the and WEAC? Or AFT, excuse me. Yeah. ATF's a different agency. AFT, excuse me.
I don't think it is of great value. Act 10 is, in essence, killed AFT. They're down to about 3,000 members. If I was involved in the bargaining of trying to pull those two together, and many, many years ago I represented the north central part of the United States, trying to bring about a merger between NEA and AFT. Al Shanker was president of AFT at the time. So I'm talking about a long time ago. And I would like to get all the teachers in one organization, but with what Act 10 has done to AFT, I see it being of little value to WEAC.
And MTI is part of WEAC, right?
That's correct.
Okay. But your organization has always kind of moved to its own drummer, right?
That's
correct.
You're
kind of an independent organization.
That's correct.
All right. So WEAC has sort of reformulated itself as something they call Uniserve. Can you explain that?
Yeah, actually, that came in the early 70s, and it was a theory of the then executive secretary of NEA as a way to provide services and build their membership base. And the theory was if you could get 1,200 members together, and of course in the urbans we were already operating with staff, but you could get, for example, Monona and Oregon and Deerfield and whatever. If you could come up with 1,200, then you could hire your own staff, mm-hmm. And be called. And the Uniserve means United Staff Services. So it was a means of trying to extend to the people in the rural areas and the suburban areas the kind of teacher representation that was already in their urban areas.
So obviously, this Act 10 has been just brutal for unions in Wisconsin. How do you see, as long as this law is in place, unions moving forward, especially teachers' unions?
Well, I think that teachers see the value. And what we are aiming to do is, as you know, in Madison, we challenged the constitutionality of Act 10. We prevailed in great part. The state has now taken that case to the Supreme Court, and sometime this spring we will get a decision from the Supreme Court as to whether the circuit court's ruling that most of Act 10 is unconstitutional, whether that survives and in total or in part or whatever. I think teachers see the value of what we are able to do for them in a variety of areas. One of the things in Act 10 is a mandate that a, quote, handbook be developed by the public employers, the city, the county, the school districts, and so forth. As part of what we did in Madison is when we bargained the last contract, we also bargained that we would have a joint committee of MTI and school district representatives who would develop the handbook, and that the current collective bargaining agreements would provide the foundation for that. So there are some real key aspects, and the unions are going to be challenged to ensure that their members have due process, that they have a just cause standard for discipline and dismissal and non-renewal of contract. That they have a progressive salary schedule, that they maintain their fringe benefits that they've bargained in essence over the last 45 or 50 years. So the county has been very effective at bringing that about. I'm talking about Dane County. The city of Madison is working on that. MTI is working with the other unions that are involved, Firefighters Local 311, the Madison Police, AFSCME, the building trades, and we are working with the Mayor Soglin, County Executive Parisi, and the Superintendent Cheatham to try to pull that together. So at least in Madison, where we have this island of progressivism, that the rights and benefits will survive for public employees.
Somebody asked you whether they should become a teacher, somebody getting ready to go to college. Would you be as enthusiastic about urging them to go into the profession than you were 20 years ago?
No.
It's a direct answer.
Well, until we can provide people with those assurances of rights and protection, you're putting your life on the line. You know, you're like a construction worker who's out on the highway working, and you know you have a risk every time a car goes by. Without the protections that are built into a collective bargaining agreement, a lot of employment is really chancy.
John Matthews, Madison Teachers Incorporated. Thanks for coming on with us.
You're most welcome. My pleasure.
Sly, the Big FM, 93.7.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.